Good evening, my friends. You're listening to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Behind me, if you are watching the live video stream, Hans the Wonder Dog is here to make sure that everything stays safe. He is adept at noticing when there are aliens or UFOs nearby. If there are monsters crouching about, he will certainly alert us to them. And there's a good chance he might just bark at a stray blue jay. We never can tell. Blue jays, monsters, they're all the same thing in his world. All he knows is that they're playing with his ball or trying to eat his food. So he will alert us nonetheless. I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. It's been a while. Thank you guys for coming back and hanging out with us here. We've got an interesting show lined up for you today. Darkness Radio presents Monsters, Ghosts, and Mysteries of the Skies with Eric Mantel. Will be joining us in just a moment. For those of you looking for something cool to watch this weekend, if you have Netflix and have not yet watched Fear Street, make sure you go watch it. There are three movies. They released one movie a week in this trilogy. R.L. Stine wrote this book series, and believe it or not, this is not just a Goosebumps story that is directed towards kids. It is very adult. It starts off in the trilogy in, I believe, 1994. The second movie takes us back to 1978. The third movie takes us back to 1666. And it's great, the tropes that they pull out. They're very... They tap all of the favorite aspects of horror movies in quite a while. So if you guys like references to Jason and Michael and everything, you're going to dig this little series. And I enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty ballsy. It was imaginative. It was something different than everything else that's been out there. So since the weekend is upon us and many of you are looking for something new, I just thought you should know about that. I also want to remind you, opening in theaters, for those of you listening to the podcast version, today, Friday, M. Night Shyamalan is back. His new movie, Old, opens today. This looks really good. I'm psyched about seeing this. This is going to be one of the first movies I'm going to stray back out of the comforts of my own home and go to a movie theater to see. And I'm looking forward to doing that. I'll give you a review on it next week when we are back with our normal programming. Thank you all for tuning in tonight and joining us here on the live. Now, remember, for those of you listening Friday, we do a live show. I try to every Thursday when I'm around and can do this. Last few weeks have been extremely busy for me. And I want to tell you guys, I'm so touched by how many of you have contacted me. I got to go do something I've really been excited about. I got to go 2 weeks ago to see Bruce Springsteen live on Broadway. For those of you that have listened to the show over the years or followed me on social media know how much that means to me. His music definitely lifted me out of the depression doldrums a few times in my life, and I believe his music helped save my life. And I got to see one of the most amazing shows. Whether you're just kind of a cursory Springsteen fan or an all-in guy like me, you should treat yourself to go see Springsteen on Broadway. The show was remarkable, very powerful. This guy is truly an all-around entertainer. Whatever you think of his politics doesn't matter, but he will have you laughing in hysterics like the best comedian in one breath, weeping in the next, and then entertain you with his music. It is truly an amazing tour de force to watch this one-man show. Well, one man and one woman. His wife, Patty, does join him on stage to sing a couple of songs with him. But overall, it is his story, and he tells it in a very eloquent, fun way. And wow, just so profound and powerful. And it relights that spark in me. He did a very stripped down version of the song Dancing in the Dark. And as many of you know from my story and my suicide attempt when I was young, that's a song that lifted me out, and it showed how pertinent the song still is today and with what we're all dealing with in the world around us. I bring that up because, again, a lot of you are dealing with depression, anxiety. The world is opening up, but it's still scary out there. And a lot of you are not sure how to feel about what's taking place in the world. And I've seen many of you at these events that we've been attending, and it's been great to get back out there and see your smiling faces and bring you some entertainment. And I understand that there's a lot of pressure on us all to try to figure out this new world that we're living in. But I applaud you for sticking to it and putting it out there. For those of you that are dancing on that dark line and afraid and feel like it's all too much and too overwhelming, please just email me, dave@darknessradio.com. I'll send you out some references and some links of places that you can talk to people and get some help, because that is imperative. You need to take care of yourself. And just because the majority of this seems over and the skies are blue and we're able to get out doesn't always mean that our outlook is as sunny as the skies above us. And that's okay. So If you're looking for help, if you're looking for a friend, you're looking to make a connection, I hope you'll come out to one of the great events that I'll be a part of this year, darknessevents.com. Go look at all the remaining events that are taking place this year, or email me, and I will do my best to try to find somebody in your area to communicate with you or to help you if you just need somebody to bounce off of. Dave@darknessradio.com. Let's get to it tonight. We've got an interesting show. Joining me is Eric Mantel, and he is a researcher and a paranormal investigator and a host of his own show. I was a guest on a few weeks back with the one and only Bill Burns, and now he's here gracing our program. Eric, thank you so much.
Hey, Dave, thank you. And, I do want to say what you just said there about depression. You know, it's true. A lot of people are dealing with all kinds of different things. And beside my duties as a paranormal investigator, I'm also a jazz musician, which I'm sure we'll get into as well. But I had a gentleman come up to me tonight and say, you know, I was 2 days ago, I was in the throes of a very deep depression. And I woke up and looked on Facebook and I heard your music and it lifted me right up out of it. So it's a good thing. And it's, you know, we all have talents that we can, you know, impart, all of us, you know, and it may seem dark and it's like, but there is always that light at the end of the tunnel. Try to keep, you know, a positive state of mind. It's easier said than that sometimes, but I like what you just said there. So yeah, that's definitely.
Well, Eric, let's talk about your music. You play a lot of places. Do you go to many locations that are reportedly haunted?
Well, that is one of the things why, you know, I've been playing the piano probably since I've been 3 or 4 years old. And my hero in jazz was Dave Brubeck, and he was a mentor to me. But about 14, I seriously took piano and wound up, you know, starting a band in 1993. And we started Eric Mantel Quartet in 1993, started playing a lot of different halls, colleges, universities, and concert halls. And inevitably, the concert halls we play, there would always be a ghost story attached to the hall. So in my mind, I always said, you know, I would love to do a show where we as jazz musicians, you know, we play these wonderful places and we have a great audience, standing ovation and everything. Then later at night, we go investigate that hall. So and now we're starting to kind of do that. We did a sizzle reel about that kind of idea. So, but we're doing that. I mean, we're doing a lot of theaters, inns, bed and breakfasts. It's amazing to me how much is out there, you know, but it's been a lot of fun too.
Well, you know, people always ask me, why do you think theaters are so haunted? Why do all of these, you know, majestic theaters, but it only makes sense to me, right? When you go think about the amount of energy that's expelled at these events,
right?
You know, you're watching from the audience, you're emotionally involved, you're laughing, you're crying, you're singing along, you're making this indelible mark on this location. And as somebody who loves that, I think that when my time comes, I will definitely be hanging out at some theaters to watch shows and keep entertained as well.
You'll be at the Springsteen, you know, you'll bring back that kind of energy again.
But I was going to say, be careful. I don't want you to say I'm going to be at a Springsteen concert as a ghost because he's a lot older than me and I'm hoping I'm around a lot longer than he is.
Well, you know, that's a good thing though. You would haunt. But listen, you know, the thing is, I think you're right. And you'll probably agree. There's a lot of residual energies at these places because I think a lot of spiritual energy, and I think a lot of people I always say that people are connected to that spirit world. There are some people that are really just connected so closely to the spirit world that they see the apparitions, they feel that energy, they go into a place and you immediately feel that. So, and why not? I mean, these are places where I think people had good times and it's good. Like, you know, sometimes it's bad energy, but I think most of the time it's good energy, you know, and ghosts are going back to those places maybe that they enjoyed.
I've got to ask you, I mean, you know, having the name Eric Mantel and happening to find a band named the Eric Mantel Trio.
Yeah.
Dude, that's what luck.
I had a hell of a time trying to come up with that name. But, oh, my God. Yeah, it's 30 years now as a band leader, you know. And I'll tell you, man, it's been like it's like a crazy paranormal uphill ride. You know, it's crazy. But it's been a lot of fun, too. I've been with the guys in my group. We've been together probably close to 20 years. We always say we've been together longer than most marriages. So, yep. But you know, we play, it's almost like we're reading each other's minds. It's that kind of like dynamic in the group.
At any of these locations where you've played, where some of the greats have graced these stages, have you ever run into anything strange or supernatural?
Oh yeah. So we've played, there's a place up in Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania, beautiful spot up there. It's a beautiful vacation spot for people, but there's an opera house there called the Machunk Opera House. And we've played there. I think also there was, I think Houdini actually performed there back in the 20s, but we did a little video. We did a video investigation of that. Bill was with me. Bill Burns was on that. And I mean, we're catching all kinds of stuff. We saw orbs. We saw shadow figures. There was two spirits supposedly haunting the opera house. So while I'm talking, and a lot of this times, I don't know if you agree with this, but you'll see sometimes in post-production that you'll say, wait a minute, what is that? We just saw that, you know? So I was talking to the director, and as I'm talking to him, I look at the footage, and there were two orbs that like shot right out of his head. And it wasn't a light reflection. It wasn't bugs or anything like that. They just went straight up. And I thought to myself, could this be the two spirits that are haunting this place? Could they be connected to him? Because he seems to be the only one that's seen these spirits. So I looked at the footage. I mean, it's on our video. It's called Mysteries at the Machunk Opera House. It's right there. I mean, you could see them right there. And it was amazing. So, but a lot of times if we're filming and we're shooting the video, we don't see that right then and there. One time I talked to a server at an inn, talking to him, he's telling me his ghost story. And then just something caught my eye as we're talking. And I went back and looked at the footage, and I kind of put it out of my mind when after that, looked at the footage, and here it was an orb that just literally came down between us and the camera. And again, it wasn't like a light. It wasn't a reflection. It wasn't a bug or nothing like that. So a lot of these places that have that energy, for sure, you get a lot of different things that you can see and feel.
All right. Well, since we're on the topic of ghosts, we're going to work into UFOs and monsters. I know you actually went out to investigate the Beast of Bray Road.
We're going
to go out. Yeah. I want to know about your thoughts on these different aspects. And do you believe they tie together? But what are some of the most haunted locations that you've had a chance to visit?
This restaurant in a local town near us. We're here in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. Bucks County, we're like right next to Washington crossing the Delaware. We're at the Delaware River. So we've got a lot of history here. You guys should do a show here. but it's phenomenal. I mean, there's a lot of history here. There's a lot of inns, bed and breakfasts, hotels, restaurants, old taverns. But one of the most haunted places we've investigated has been it's McCool's Red Lion Inn. It goes back to about the 1740s. And again, it's the one where I told you we saw the orb. And I mean, just unbelievable stuff there. People have seen one of the bartenders. On a regular basis, the vodka bottles would come right out of the speed rack, fall on the floor, you know, on the bar, you know, cups would be. So all of these things would be moving, and the energy in this place is crazy. We saw shadows, and that was probably one of the most active places that we've been in a while. And it was fascinating.
It's interesting you bring up a bar and the name Red Lion Inn. When I grew up in Chicagoland area, I used to go do these investigations and tours with the late, great Richard Crow. And he took us to, there was a Red Lion Inn and another pub across the street in Chicago. And he had this little deal that, you know, he would drive around the bus, show you the places, tell you the stories. And in some of the bars we'd go in, and I'm sure he got a cut for bringing in a busload of people. So we're in there and everybody else is in the back. And supposedly what happened was, well, not supposedly, the former owner had been drinking, was playing cards, had leaned back in his chair and fell backwards, split his head open and died in the back room. And I guess he's very friendly with women and has been known to grab an ankle or two when they sit in the chair. So everybody was in there sitting in the chair, and I'm just sitting at the end of the bar on the other side of the wall. And I'm talking to the bartender. She goes, so do you believe in all this paranormal crap? And I start laughing. I go, yeah, I think so. And she goes, you know, they're all back there trying to have something happen. Do you want to see something really cool? And I go, sure. She goes, the former owner loved Stoli, right? So she breaks out a bottle of Stoli. She sets it on the bar and she goes, now you watch that red balloon in the back room. I'm like, okay. So as we're talking, the red balloon slowly bouncing across the room, but I've seen that before, you know, you've got cross breezes and everything, but it's bouncing across room. Now it was just in the corner of the room until she put the Stoli out. And as it keeps bouncing across the room, it comes. And then of course there's a door frame and the balloon lowers under the door frame and comes out and boom, bops up, floats down to the end of the bar and hangs over the bottle of Stoli. She goes, we will come in here and she goes, we'll mark it at night. And the next morning we come in and there's two shots worth gone. I'm like, get out of here. And I go, let me try it. Cause I'm thinking she knows where the flipping balloon stops every time. She knows this. So I take the Stoli, I go move it across the bar and I sit it on a table and we sat there and the balloon just hung above the bar. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I thought. And then all of a sudden it just starts junking and jagging across and goes and hangs out right over the top. So all these people are in the back hoping their ankles are going to get squeezed by a ghost. Meanwhile, I'm watching the red balloon of death bounce around a bottle of vodka. It was really cool to see something. It just wild. Bizarre.
Oh, it's crazy. Well, I know you, and I know it's like, when you see something like that, how do you feel when you, I mean, you've seen a lot of things. I know that, but what is your first impression of like seeing this? Is it paranormal or could it be something else? Could it be some kind of other types of energy there?
Well, I always, of course, want to look for the logical and try to make sense of the experience that I'm having. And at that point, I was quite a bit younger. I was maybe 18, 19 years old. So logic was not playing a big part in my head. You know, I was just surprised they were serving me at a bar without carding me, but I wasn't going to push and ask questions. But yeah, it was just an interesting deal. Then we went to Hull House on Chicago Circle campus. And, we were hearing all the stories and there's video or photographs of these monk-like characters being seen. And I actually put the camera I had up against the glass window. It was this beautiful old 1920s decor in there. So I took a couple pictures with the camera flush up against the glass. A couple weeks later, this is back in the day, folks. I don't know if you know this, but you used to take this thing called film out of the back of your camera and you take them to a photo development store where some pimple-faced teenager would run them through a machine and create photographs. So we got the photos back and my buddy and I are looking through them, hoping to see a ghost. We got nothing, but there is this one milky substance in front in the one picture. And he's like, ah, this one's ruined. They must've messed it up. When he slides it across the table, it lands at an angle that I notice. It's not just a deformity of the film. It's this milky hand reaching towards the lens like this. And then I'm like, oh, well, that must have been my hand reflecting off the glass because I was holding the camera like this. But it legitimately was at an angle and it was coming through and you couldn't see a camera blocking any part of the hand. And you could see the fingernail and the bed. I was like, what the hell? So that was my first foray into a ghost photograph.
That's probably not unheard of, but that must have been shocking to you, you know, to see that. And you see that, and then that's, you know, for me, I've always loved the paranormal. I mean, my family's always had, you know, I know your family has had a lot of stories. My family, I've grown up around, you know, horror movies and paranormal. And, you know, my father would always have ghost stories to tell, you know, and that he experienced and UFO, you know, experiences as well. And just some of the things, and then it just got my interest piqued and, you know, just growing up. And like I said, we live in this area here that is just rich in paranormal. There are so many paranormal hotspots here. It's just so many. And now going from, we had a huge UFO flap. I know we're going to get into UFOs, but, we had a big UFO flap in 2008 and it made national news. It was on, I think they did a documentary of it, UFOs over Earth. It was UFOs over Bucks County. Incredible stuff. And I think Bill Burns is like almost my next door neighbor. I love it. And I had seen Bill probably, you know, I mean, I always loved UFO Hunters and I always loved that show. And then seeing him on Ancient Aliens. And I had said way back then when we had this huge flap, I said, man, I would love to do a show with Bill Burns. And there he was one day in this coffee shop in a local coffee shop. I said, Bill, and we just started talking and here we are working together again. It's unbelievable.
That's pretty cool. Nice small world. Yeah, he's one of our favorite guests on the show, and he's always been a great last minute guy. If somebody drops out on me, I can call Bill and throw him any topic, and he can talk about it like crazy because he's been so ingrained in this field for so long and knows all the backstories. Well, I do want to talk UFOs in a few minutes, but tell me again. You were telling me the restaurant was a good site. What are some? Have you ever been frightened by what you believe to be a ghostly visitation or apparition?
Not yet. Not yet. But we did one of the most haunted ones, I would say, was Haunted Hillview Manor out in Newcastle. That was really creepy there. We actually did, they gave us a little bit of a tour, but then we did a little investigation as well. We definitely caught this shadow figure down this hallway, and then we found out later that it's what they call the creeper. And it was this, we saw the shadow. It seemed to be getting bigger and smaller. It was just weird. It's just a weird, weird thing. And so I said to this guy, Nick, who was the maintenance guy, I said, Nick, we saw this like shadow that kept getting small. He said, oh yeah, you caught the creeper. You got the creeper. I said, really? And it's something that they see there all the time. This was an old poor farm, and basically was, it had, oh man, I think a few hundred people, and maybe about 1,000 people actually, because it was it's about 85,000 square feet. It's still there, huge, and they had a lot of people that were destitute. They had no family. There were some people there that were there their whole lives. The mother and father gave up on maybe if they had deformities or something like that, and they just left them there. It was really, really sad. But a lot of those energies and a lot of the things that people are seeing there, that was really, for us, that was one of the more creepy places for us to go in. I tend to go in, like you, I go in scientifically, like saying, what is really here? What's really going on? I don't want to go into a place and say immediately it's haunted. I want to see exactly what's going on. Look at it scientifically, look at it a little more logically than, being scared. So far, so far we've been pretty good, but there are sometimes, some of those things that you don't know what they are. It's not really frightening. It's more like the unknown, have we gotten touched or anything like that? Not yet, but that's some of the, we're still gone. I mean, we just started this in 2016. So we're just, we're still in our infancy, but we've been doing a lot since then.
Sounds like quitter talk to me, Mantel. You should have been touched the first week or you should have quit.
Exactly. If I didn't see Bigfoot in the first week, I'm out of there.
Right. That's the way it works in the paranormal. Now, speaking of Bigfoot, Pennsylvania has a pretty rich history with Bigfoot sightings. Is that something you've gone out to investigate?
Yeah, I've spoken with, Stan Gordon, Bigfoot researcher out here. 1973 was a huge Bigfoot. Well, I have a theory about that too, Bigfoot UFO connection. In 1973, they had a huge Bigfoot UFO connection right in middle Pennsylvania, Westmoreland County. Thousands and thousands of reports of people seeing this giant hairy beast with red glowing eyes. But the weird thing about this is it didn't have your traditional Bigfoot footprints. There were three-toed footprints. So that to me was right there said, well, there's got to be something here because this is something you don't really hear. You've seen the Patterson-Gimlin footprints and the footage, but a three-toed track? What could this be? So a lot of and people were getting reports, and they were also getting the five-toed tracks and whatnot. But the three-toed, it was all fascinating. And Stan wrote a book about it. He said some of the witnesses were unbelievable and so sincere in what they were seeing. And then the UFO connection. There was a large UFO flap that people were seeing these UFOs and then were seeing the Bigfoot. So I'm thinking to myself, could the UFOs be, transporting Bigfoot here, or this creature, this unknown creature that we say it's Bigfoot, but it's still an unidentified, creature. Is it here? I know we were talking about like the parallel universe. You know, it could be in another dimension somehow, and it's able to, you know, disappear. I don't know. There's so many. I mean, there's so many thoughts about that. But in here in Pennsylvania, in our area, and especially in New Jersey, at the New Jersey Pine Barrens, there's juvenile Bigfoot sightings there and evidence. We have a
recent. Well, now with the three toe situation, you got to guess that there might be a lot of inbreeding going on if it's a small sect. So there might be some deformities from time to time. I mean, that's natural in humans, even for non-inbreeding people. There's some deformities that take place. So that could be it. But it is weird to see the correlation when you know there's all these type of hauntings, then cryptid sightings and UFO sightings. Why is this area so rich in this paranormal environment?
I don't know. I mean, that's the question. That's what we're, that's why we're here, Dave. We're we're here. Tonight,
we're going to answer it. We're going to answer it all. It might not be right, but we're going to answer it.
But that's it. I mean, you know, and I love that's what the fascinating part to me is, like, you, when we're on these investigations, and I'm sure you can agree, you always leave with more questions than you do answers, because you've got the evidence, you see the evidence, but you know, what is it? I mean, what's the correlation? And I think that's what we're all trying to figure out, is what is the correlation here? You know, John Keel was talking about the living lights, you know, and look at what we're seeing now. You're seeing people with like video of these orange orbs, you know, and these orbs just coming out of nowhere and then disappearing. So and I had a sighting back in 2016 of that same thing. My girlfriend and I were going over the bridge in New Jersey, in Stockton, New Jersey. And just out of the blue, I just happened to look over, and these five orbs just appeared out of nowhere. And what I thought initially, what I thought it was Chinese lanterns. That's exactly what it looked like in, you know, at that instant.
Right, right.
Because there was a restaurant right near the bridge before you go over the bridge. And I thought maybe there's a wedding, but this is early February. It's cold. And it's at night. So there was nothing. And the restaurant was closed. So I'm sitting here, you know, I'm trying to fumble with my camera, trying to get a picture of this thing. And so they were five orbs, and they just basically appeared. They did like a search pattern. It looked like they did a search pattern over the water. And then one by one, just disappeared. So I was able to get one shot. I'll send you the picture. You could see it's a red orb. It's red at that point, but it was orange initially. And then as it got dimmer, it was a red, and then it was gone. But it wasn't anything like zipping off kind of thing. It was just like just disappearing like this. It was just.
See, but now that, as a skeptical believer, that does sound like the Chinese lanterns, because they do that. As the candle burns down, they'll slowly descend and the color does appear to change. So that is something we have to question. Yeah. Obviously, you've seen some of these, but a lot of the UFO flaps with these orange balls have turned out to be a wedding party, a funeral, a remembrance, where people release all these, you know, yeah. And it's not a good plan with as dry as it's been in different parts of the country, because that could start a lot of fires. Dan Heisey says, question for Eric, have you ever investigated Boob's Brewery in Mount Joy, Pennsylvania? And I think it's Boob's, right? Isn't that B-U-B-E-S?
Yeah, we've heard of it. Yeah, no. Dan, that's awesome. I would definitely, we'll check that out. There is a plethora of places that are on the docket for us to investigate. But yeah, that's I will definitely check that out. Thank you.
I like Veronica's comment. The unknown can be a lot scarier than reality. That is way too true.
For sure. For sure. Reality is definitely scarier.
Marissa brings up three toes. That's usually reptilian.
Yeah, that could be. I mean, that was one of the other things that we were talking about that could have been, it could have been that reptilian, the reptilian aliens, even that were, you know, the extraterrestrials that people are seeing. It could be that as well. But the other thing is, these things were also giving off an ungodly smell. People were smelling these things way before they were seeing them. It smelled like, you know, bad roadkill or, you know, a dead deer, but even worse than that. So then they would see these things. And this is in the 70s reports that I was saying about. They would see these things. And I think one woman was in her house, and she smelled like between a skunk and like roadkill and just wet dog fur. And she just happened to look out the window and hear this thing is right there at the window, like right there, right at the window with these red glowing eyes looking in the window. And she freaked out. And then when she freaked out, then it disappeared. It ran off. But there were three toed footprints right under the window.
Yikes.
Which was that. I mean, that's, you look at that. That's scary, man. That's to me.
What's scary is you look out your window and there's a giant hairy hominid standing out there, and the smell is so pungent it's coming through the windows to you. You'd think those would be easier to track. Obviously, you could follow that scent. Speaking of scent and following it, Summer Breeze says, how do you know it was Bigfoot or just plain aliens? We don't. That's the interesting thing. Yeah. Bigfoot may be alien. Maybe that's why he's adept at being able to camouflage or disappear so quickly.
I think that is a really good point. And I always have had that thought that it's not, you know, a flesh and blood. I mean, it's a flesh and blood creature, but is it from here? Or it could be, maybe they're living under the earth. Maybe they're in the earth somehow and they're able to come out, or they're able to find these places. Even with the aliens, I've always said that I don't think the aliens are coming from interstellar space. I think they're here. I think they're in the oceans. Because now you look at the declassified Navy footage of all these things going in the oceans. We've had USOs, unidentified submerged objects, for years. I mean, incredible. We got another question here, it looks like.
Yep. JML asks, do we just catch glimpses into the other dimension when we see an apparition of a soldier running on a battlefield? Or what about when they show themselves intentionally? I think these are different kind of questions, JML. I don't believe that most things are evil. I believe that you get a glimpse of them because you're at the right place at the right time, and either they want to be seen or you just happen to be vibing on that same level of existence where they are. And I'm also not a firm believer that it is a dead person. You very well could be seeing these shifts in time, these quick fleeting moments. This ground has absorbed so much memory and energy, and whether we're getting little bursts of you know, radiation from the earth or whatever might be kicking these up and creating this template that could be showing us these little snippets, these looks through the looking glass, if you will. Eric, what do you think on all this?
Absolutely. I mean, Dave, you had mentioned in our interview with Bill that you had said, look, if I believe that they're there, make yourself known, show yourself, you know, and you saw the star, whatever it was, that light just kind of went into the Big Dipper and then it zipped off. So it made itself known to you. You know, and it's that, again, we're going back to that. Could there be people that are connected to the spirit world, the UFO energy, and they'll be able to see that, and they could even see through that veil.
And maybe the reason you saw something is you're tied to that spirit in some way. Maybe it was you in a past life. I don't know. Exactly. Marie-Anne Bisson says, I've had an experiencer regression client who described her beings as being large and full of body hair and fur. So there we go with that alien concept again.
Yeah. There was some footage. I don't know if people had seen it recently. Did you see that footage of they caught a Bigfoot in Michigan crossing a river? Just brand new footage.
Right. Yeah.
Well, it turns out, I don't think it was a Bigfoot. They debunked it. It was actually a person, but a big hairy person. You know, crossing the river. But, you know, it could be alien. It could be a flesh and blood creature. That's the other thing. It could be interdimensional. The other thing, there are beings here before we were here on the earth. There was the Nephilim. I think I'm saying that right.
Nephilim. Yes. Nephilim. Yep.
And they were described as big, large, hairy beings. Could these be a leftover of that time period? Could they have survived somehow all this time?
Good question. We have another one. Deborah Lavin asks, Eric and Dave, do you know of certain months of the year when the veil is thinner? You know, we've certainly heard that it's during full moon periods that the electromagnetic balance might be right. The fall weather seems to be more prevalent. But again, is it just because our thoughts are turned to that during those months, during the solstice areas? There's obviously something to that magic. That's why people keep going to it.
And Dave, guess what?
What?
There's a full moon tonight. Wait, Dave, you're getting hairier. Wait.
Yeah, don't I wish. I'll actually, during the break, I'll go get something and show you something an artist made for me that I love. Oh, we'll cool. do that. Let's do that now. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We've got more to discuss right here on the Best in Paranormal Podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. And welcome back to the program. This is the Best in Paranormal Podcasting, Paranormal Talk Radio. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Eric Mantel, my guest tonight. Hey, folks, I want to make a point of two different things to tell you about. First of all, and Eric, I don't know if you've ever had a chance to see my package, so let me show you right now. I've got my book, The Other Side. I've got a Holzer Files card and a Darkness Radio decal, folks. And this is a cool little package that we have going on right now. You get all three of these items. It's a $50 value for $40. Now, because I like you people, for the rest of the orders that come in this month only, during the month of July, so if you listen to this in August, you can't write into me and tell me, but I didn't hear it till August. You should keep up on these shows. Then we wouldn't have these problems. If you order in the month of July, I'm going to include a $30 gift. So you're spending $40 for my autograph book, my autograph card, the Darkness Radio decal, and getting a $30 gift. How does he do it? He must be a lunatic. I am. So just email me, dave@darknessradio.com. Just tell my wife I want Dave's big package with the free gift, and she will send you an invoice, and we'll make sure to get my package out to you. Those are while the supplies last. So if you're interested in that. Now, before the break, Eric, I was telling you about, I love all things cryptid, and I love, of course, werewolves.
Oh yeah!
And this is pretty cool. I had this done. I've only got a couple left. I should probably maybe I'll make them available to sell. They even come with a certificate of authenticity. But this is pretty neat. And this artist did some remarkable work. If I can get it out of the package, so it's a lenticular picture of me turns into the Wolfman.
Oh, that is so cool.
Yeah, and you could see how much work it took to get my full head looking hairy. So these are pretty. So those are pretty cool. We've got the certificate of authenticity. I think there was only like five of these bad boys made. You know what? They've been sitting in my closet. So maybe what I'll do is I'll offer them up. Craig Hines, the artist on these. If you guys are interested in one of the Dave Schrader werewolf lenticular prints, let me know. Email me, dave@darknessradio.com. I think I've only got two left. Yeah, so if you're interested, then we'll talk. That's what I do around here. Yeah, now let's talk about your work into examining the big UFO flap. And Deborah, thank you for your last question about certain months of the year when the veil is thinner. Again, we don't know specifically, but it is definitely you know, there are definite points when people feel they can make communication a little bit more clearly. But again, I have no way to tell us for sure. So tell me about this UFO flap and what all has been going on with this story. It took place in 2008, you said.
2008. But it's still been going on. But 2008 was a huge flap from, I think, January of 2008 to July of 2008. And yeah, it was basically UFOs were seen all over Bucks County. I think one of the first reports was a police officer in an area called Levittown, Oxford Valley area, had looked up and saw it looked like an octopus in the sky of lights. Just this real creepy thing of lights up there. And it happened to be over a Mexican restaurant. So, and it was, it made the news. I mean, it was all over the papers. And it turns out there were a lot of other people that had seen that. And then the most strange report, a woman said that she was outside walking her dog, saw this UFO come down into her yard, into the backyard. It shined some light on this tree that was right by the building, by the apartment buildings that, and what it looked like light, but it was also, it looked like glitter coming down onto the tree. So that in and of itself was incredible. So this glitter came down, but she said the glitter came down on the tree, went onto the leaves, and then went back into the craft. So this glitter light came down, was lighting up the tree, did its thing in the tree, whatever that was, and then went back up into the craft, and then it took off. So I think Bill was there. He investigated it, and John Ventry, who was the director of MUFON, Pennsylvania. And they did some tests on the leaves, and there was some kind of weird, like, boron on the leaves that were on the outer part of the leaves, but on the inner part of the tree, it was unaffected. So whatever came down on these leaves from the craft left some kind of residue on the leaves. And it was just undeniable. It was just this weird chemical thing that was on the leaves, but the inner part of the tree was not affected. There was a baby robin's nest that was in that tree that night. The robin was fine. The next morning, that nest was on the ground. It was old and shriveled up. And it was, so whatever hit that tree affected that robin's nest. So the tree since then has been taken down, but they still don't know what that was. And they did a lot of tests, and there was some kind of radiation that was on those leaves. So that was really fascinating at that point. And
now, had people reported seeing creatures at all surrounding these?
I didn't hear anything as far as the creatures go, but the UFOs that people were seeing were identical. They were seeing the same things. They got four or five reports of people that were seeing it. Right around the corner from me, a gentleman saw another type of UFO around that time that looked like a huge hexagon. And it looked like a football field of lights going across the sky. So again, still no explanation. You know, what was that? What is that? People are still talking about it today, you know, and they still have the evidence. But now I think, you know, that things are more now that things are coming out to the open now. A lot of things have been declassified. So, you know, you get a lot of people back then that might not have wanted to say anything. You know, now it's a little bit more accepted. So it's kind of an open book now. But we still don't know what it is.
There were so many people that saw this. I mean, was it being covered by local news on a regular basis?
It was. It was for that 7 month period, 6 month period. You'd have newspaper reports. You'd have all kinds of things in the paper. If you go on Google and look at that Bucks County UFO flap, there's all kinds of things written about it. And people were seeing orbs. They were seeing all kinds of different things. You know, and there's still reports. I mean, there's reports almost every day of people seeing things here in Bucks and Pennsylvania alone.
We've got a question from Renee. And I'm sorry, Eric, I have to mute you when I'm talking because through your audio, I'm getting a weird loop back. So I don't know if you could turn your volume down just a little bit on your speaker system. Renee asks, why do you think UFOs are coming here? Now, I do want to say, folks, everybody's questions are welcome. I'll try to get to all your questions. There are a few people in the chat room that seem to want to belittle people that are asking questions. Knock it off or I will boot your ass. We don't have time for that. We're all here together to explore and educate and enlighten. And that's what we're here to discuss. So there is no stupid question. And Renee, I appreciate you asking this. Why do you think UFOs are coming here? Listen, we're a big teeming ball of energy and life and light. Why wouldn't they come here? We would do the same. If we saw through our telescope that the third moon of Jupiter had life on it, which we think it has, we're sending craft out there to look at it and examine it. It's because we want to verify. They want to. Or, you know, the other belief, Eric, is that we are the petri dish. We are the science experiment. And those are our creators coming here to check on our progression and what's going on. I'm sure they're not always happy about it after the last year we've had here. But I don't know. What's your take on why Earth is such a hotbed for alien activity?
Well, I mean, you look at it this way. Is the audio better now?
Let me see. While I'm talking, I'm getting a little bit of a loop when I talk, but it's okay. Go ahead.
I think, you know, like you just said, like we're so new. I mean, even though the Earth has been here so long, I think we're relatively new to the aliens or the extraterrestrials that are coming here. So they're coming here maybe because, hey, you know, this is an interesting planet. I mean, but look at all of the planets that scientists are finding now that might have life on them. You know, they have the recipe for life. So why couldn't they be coming here, you know, exploring and maybe coming here seeing, hey, maybe this is something, could we use this planet somehow? Could we, you know, is this something that we could be, you know, inhabitable for us? You know, a lot of people say the alien, the extraterrestrials, aliens, they're here already. They've been here. You know, they're living among us. But I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence with that idea. Like, would they look like us if they're here? You know, it's like, I don't know. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I mean, we've seen grays, we've seen the mantis people, we've seen the jellyfish kind of deals, the octopus aliens. There have been so many different types, the Palladians, the I can't remember the other ones that are kind of like the Norse god looking ones with the long blonde hair and the blue eyes. So there's a lot of that that's being seen and experienced. I don't know. Do they change over time? Do they change the way we perceive them because of our representation of them? So they try to, they're up there watching our beams and they're like, oh, we better look like ET for a while because that's what everybody's all into. Or, you know, I'm just waiting for the Mork from Ork regime to land here on our planet. JML says, do you think orbs are aliens? I had a seasoned investigator tell me they aren't spirits. Always made me wonder. I personally am not a big fan of orbs. JML, if you've listened to our show in the past, because unless you're sitting here in the room and you watch the light orb move in front of your eyes, bare eyes, I've just seen too many things that are dust, moisture, and bugs that people want to ascribe to being a ghost. Listen, we do a lot of killing of bugs in our home, so it could be the ghost of that bug you killed earlier. So think of that. You've got ghost spiders crawling on your face tonight. That's because you did that to them. But orb lights we have associated with aliens. People have seen these. They think they might even be drones, these small balls of white light that sometimes pulse blue or red, and they seem to follow along fast cars and things too, like they're watching people. Sometimes they'll circle vehicles and then take off. So it could be that they're an alien form. It could be that they're just the scout ship, you know, just taking a look at what we're doing and who we are. And are we easy to conquer, or do we look tasty? Yeah, that's something to leave you scratching your head with, right? Yes, Nordics. Thank you. Everybody's pointing that out. I appreciate that.
She's now terrified, Dave. She's gone now.
Yes, which is understandable. Let me see. We have another question come up. Josh says, I've heard dark matter, well, matters for UFOs, and we are trying to find it in galaxy. Do you guys think we have it in a variation or compound mixture? We haven't figured it out yet. And UFOs know about it. Possibilities. I mean, I don't think we know exactly what dark matter is. Science is still hypothesizing about this, and they're looking at things, and they ascribe the name dark matter to it. But could it be here already? Could it be something that we just haven't figured out how to trip the switch and see it and, you know, observe it up close? I'm not sure.
And then you go, let's talk about the alien abduction phenomena too, because I interviewed Kathleen Martin, who was the niece of Betty and Barney Hill, the very first people that came forward who had this alien abduction in September of 1961. And an interracial couple too. So back then that was very taboo back then to talk about that. So, but they came forward and they didn't want any kind of publicity, but you have to think about even back then, like why, if they're coming here, why would they, what would be their interest in us? Maybe it was their interest in us. That's why they wanted to see how we worked, you know, see how, you know, we function and whatnot. But if you ever hear the story, ever hear the tapes of Betty and Barney's hypnosis sessions, they were absolutely terrified of what they were experiencing. And that's something you cannot fake. I mean, you can't fake that kind of fear. And so, you know, we could go back to that and say, why are they here? Well, again, maybe they're trying to figure out how we work. I don't know if there's, I mean, people are saying, you know, is there a threat? Are they threatening or anything like that? So far, I mean, if you look at the abduction experience, yeah, that could be, you could be considered a threat that way. But as far as threatening, as far as, you know, weapons and stuff like that, I haven't seen that yet. I don't think we've seen that. I
mean, thankfully,
when you have a Tic Tac UFO that's going 15,000 miles an hour, hey, I don't think we have anything that can do that.
Or do we? Right. Crazy stuff.
That's true.
Now, do we continue to see, I mean, is there strange UFO activity over Pennsylvania? Again, it always boggles my mind when I think of big states like Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, things like that. California, maybe not so much because there's a lot of desolate area, but it just seems interesting to me that they would kind of hover over locations that would be harder for them to hide or mask themselves in.
I think every day you're seeing things out in Pennsylvania. I think every day people are seeing things all over the place. I mean, they're there. I mean, they're just there, and people just happen to be looking now. They're looking up. I mean, look at Bigfoot too. Like, for years, he was relegated to the Midwest or or California.
Yeah, nobody Pacific thought, Northwest, nobody, right?
Nobody could think, hey, he's not, could he be in Hoboken? But but he is. There's a Hoboken monkey man.
No, there's not. Really?
There is. People have seen the Hoboken monkey man.
Hoboken monkey man. That sounds like a new rum.
But apparently he's there. He's there. People are seeing it.
Good God, the Hoboken monkey man.
It goes along. And here's the other thing. You know, we've got an investigation coming up August 9th. And Bill is going to join us on this, of the Bigfoot in the New Jersey Pine Barrens. So our Bigfoot researcher is going to show us the areas that he's gotten footprints. He's gotten hair samples, howls. He's gotten recordings. We won't be barking any howls or anything that night. I don't know if we're going to be doing tree knocks or anything, but you know, it's some of the evidence that he's got is incredible. So we're going to go down to some of these areas that he's had this evidence, and he's gotten some of these things. So, and it's going to be at night. So that, I don't want to go during, we've already done that during the day. I want to go at night because I want to see the nocturnal factor of this. Yeah. It's the Pine Barrens. It could be scary. You got to be careful down there, but he's a tracker. So he knows where he's going. And he's done this a lot of times.
And I think you should pull a Bugs Bunny and dress up like a female Sasquatch, spray yourself with a little skunk juice, and
hello, I'm just looking for help. Anybody out there?
It'd scare the hell out of everybody.
Right. But the male Sasquatch might, hey, can I help you out with that? Exactly. Would you get a flat tire? Let me change that for you.
I got it. You know, while we're here, I want to do mention the guy. I can't do this without my team. You know, like everybody has a team, and my team is great. I've got myself, obviously. And then I've got Dominic Sattel, who is another investigator. I've known Dominic since high school. And my bass player in my quartet, my jazz quartet, Dave Antonow, has been with us on. And when I started this, you know, we started doing like tongue in cheek kind of videos about paranormal. And then later on, it got into like a paranormal tourism business now. So now we're showing people where to go, what to do, what to see. And I found out I've played with Dave 20 years as a musician. I didn't realize he liked shooting video as much as I did. So it was a great, great connection. And then we work with a spirit medium. Her name is Karen Luchin, and she's been great. She's been like spot on with a lot of these areas that we go into. I won't tell her anything about what's going on, as I'm, you know the drill. And she goes and she knows exactly what's going on without even saying a word. So it's a great team. We have a lot of fun. And I mean, you'll agree. You also have to have fun doing this. It's work. It's serious work, but it's also fun. You know,
have you ever thought of in an area where there's Bigfoot or haunting, have you ever gone into play music, gentle music, soothing, see if it would entice them to come out and see what's going on?
I never did that, but that's a good point. That would be a good, maybe that would be a good thing to do.
Jazz music, you know, and where you're at, playing some jazz music in a haunted bar or, you know, place where it used to be big during the 20s and 30s,
yeah.
And there was murder, death there, playing some jazz music, having the recorder on, play it, and then stop and see if you continue to hear music or talking or party ghosts or what's going on.
That's a good idea. I never tried that, but I should.
Yeah, it's a great trigger object, you know, as long as you're not coming in doing Disturbed songs or something, right? Although
the Halloween theme or something,
We did do when we were at one location. It was an old speakeasy bar, and I was there with Bill Chappell. He creates quite a bit of the equipment you see on TV, everything from the Ovilus to the EM pumps and reverse EVP recorders and such. So he found a way to actually. He has an electromagnetic speaker you plug into the output on a recorder. So you record yourself asking questions, you push play, and it broadcasts it into that electromagnetic sphere so that you record on your other recorder, see if you get responses, because you're broadcasting to where we believe their energy is. So we were in, and he was playing some old honky-tonk music and old 20s music, and we weren't getting any response. And then he put on, I want to say it was Guar, and he played Guar for a few seconds, that kind of just thrash metal, crazy nonsense. And he turns it off, and we record, and the voice said something. And I don't remember the exact quote, but it was like, what the hell was that? So they actually captured the sound of these things reacting to Guar.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, changing it up, shifting it, playing some music might get the spirits to interact and ask them, did you have a favorite song? Could I play something for you? I would guess, Eric, that might. Music transcends. It's truly the universal language of time and space. You can listen to a song and be transported back. You might be able to transport the past to now.
Well, that's a great point, because, you know, that was one of the things in this show that we wanted to do, was is there a paranormal tone? Is there a tone that is like just cuts through the space time continuum that they can react to, you know? So that was the idea.
It is. And here is that tone. straight through all variations.
Right through.
Yeah. Cuts right through. I promise you will definitely hear from the other side with that. What do you believe is, in your estimation, what do you believe is the trigger of why some people have experiences and other people don't?
Well, I think there is a lot of people that are very, very sensitive to their environment. And by that, I mean that they can feel that energy. You know, when they go into a place, they could feel that, like, that closed. Like, if you go into a room and it feels closed off, you know, that's that energy. I think there are those people, maybe the more artistic people too, that are more like, you know, open-minded to all kinds of different energies. But you've got your average regular Joe that could go into a place and immediately feel that, you know, and know that person was here. I don't know. It might be a developmental thing. It could be something that they've always had, but they've developed it over time. So I don't know. You know, unfortunately, I don't have that. When I go into a place, I'm not one to feel that energy. If I'm going in there, I'm like, I don't feel that. Rarely, I should say, will I feel that energy. But we'll work with people that Dom is one where he could go in and feel immediately that, okay, something happened here. We just did this New Hope Railroad, the haunted railroad down the street. And he got the sense that the place was held up. It had been held up at some point, because he had kept seeing a train conductor with his hands up, like both hands up, like, and turning to the wall. So now we're doing a video on these famous outlaws that were here in Bucks County called the Doan Brothers. And so I'm wondering if there was a connection there, if there was a connection of them robbing the train. But then the Doan Brothers were a little bit before the time the trains were actually here in Bucks County, but there's all kinds of different connections. I don't know where my point was going with this, but yeah, I think people definitely can feel that energy, more than most.
What do you think you're more likely to experience, seeing an alien, a Bigfoot, or a ghost? Which one is going to happen to you first?
I would say probably a UFO. Not an alien per se, but
right,
like the sighting of the UFO, because I've had that experience. So that's unique to my own experience. Like and that's a good point too. Like you've had the trifecta, you've had Bigfoot, UFOs, ghosts, and a lot of other things. So people, I think more people that are more open-minded to that subject are going to see that. You know, as far as the spirit, I mean, I know you just said you're not a fan of orbs, but there, I have to show you this video, and we have something here too, because I was playing the piano here and I was playing a melody. My girlfriend loved the melody, and she said, "Could you play that again? And I'm going to videotape it." So I played it, and as I'm playing it, you could just see this ball of energy just come up right into the video, like into the screen. And it caught her off guard so much. You could hear her like gasp at the end there. And my mom had just passed about 2-3 months before that. So we thought maybe that was her coming back, you know, listening to the music. So again, music has, maybe that has that spiritual energy.
Marissa brings up tapping into your intuition. If you listen to your intuition, that is a great way to start honing and building your kind of psychic muscle and trying to communicate, see what's there. I led people when I was just out at the Belvoir Winery event. Before each investigation, I walked everybody through this, and I want all of you to try it as well. I said, close your eyes, and I want you to breathe in slowly through the nose and then out through the mouth, and you're going to do that a series of 3 times. Now, I want you to imagine this hospital bustling. I want you to see it as it looked when it was filled with patients, doctors, nurses. I want you to see the family and friends coming through, the sounds of crying from one room, the sounds of laughter from another. I just want you to try to put yourself into that space to have an experience, to be a part of that, just imagining it, bringing yourself in, setting that intention, because I think intention is such a powerful aspect to investigations. And with that, we started having weird things, hearing footsteps, shadow figures. We got some EVP. So it was like kind of trying to, it's paranormal archaeology, really, Eric, right? We're digging through the layers to try to get to when these moments were the strongest. And we can connect, right?
You're manifesting it. You're manifesting it in a way that you're bringing out that energy, and you're hitting, there is that veil, you know, we just talked about the veil. So you're tapping into that. And that could be something that's another thing that hasn't been explored, is that thin veil that's there. But I mean, look at the brain, the brain, there's so many things that we don't know about the brain that have been unexplored, you know, and the human mind.
Well, and you know, I've been playing with the idea, and I've been hearing more and more people talk about it, that maybe what we think are ghosts are these aliens, and that they're around us all the time watching us, or interdimensional beings, whatever you want to ascribe a title to them as being. But maybe they're always here watching, which will make you think next time you're going to the bathroom or doing something you shouldn't. But that might be part of the observation, right? We're just one big zoo for any of these superior entities that want to make.
That's why I love talk shows like this, because it gets you thinking in all these different areas. Cause that's another thing. I never really made that connection before, you know? And it could be, it very well could be.
Let's see here. We've got Jennifer Lynn Stewart says, I saw a full body apparition years ago at a pharmacy I worked at.
Wow.
That's crazy, right? I mean, to be working there and see something. And there's so many of these businesses that are haunted. I also want to throw this out there. If there are any chiropractors listening, or any of you that go to chiropractors, ask them if there's, just say, hey, can I ask you something? Do you ever have any strange phenomena happen around here? Energy disbursements, ghosty things. You'd be amazed at how many massage therapists and chiropractors have haunted offices, because they're working your energy and they're clearing you and they're cracking and changing these things. And sometimes I think these bits of energy slip out, you know, the connections we have to other people, because I can't tell you how many chiropractors I've gone to in my life that tell me how haunted their office is.
Wow.
And some massage therapists become very attuned, and when they're massaging, and they'll get into, you know, I had this really rough spot in my neck that really tightens up a lot when I'm under stress. As she started rubbing the knot out, she got very emotional feeling. And she's like, just out of the blue, she goes, have you been having a lot of stress lately? And I go, why? Because of that knot. She goes, well, obviously that, but I feel like this is more an emotional blockage. I feel like crying as I'm rubbing it out. And, it was interesting to me, and I started talking to her about that. And although she wouldn't go on to say she was psychic, she definitely felt she was sensitive to those energies So it's interesting to see how people respond to these concepts kind of doled out to them.
You know, and that makes a lot of sense, because the energy, and they're able to manipulate that energy. So I would definitely think that could be a possibility. That's fascinating, though. I've never heard of that before, as far as like chiropractors' offices. That's wild.
Ask everybody out there. And then, you know, we got to start asking dentists. Maybe the ghosts of the yeah, the burger we ate is still alive. John Gately says, the only full body apparition I've seen was of my mother on Christmas Eve, the year she passed away. What a beautiful gift, John, to be able to have that connection one more time, especially on a holiday that important.
That's awesome.
I like this. This is a real answer. Sylvie Ward says, no, Dave, do not make that correlation. A ghost should be a ghost. An alien is an alien. My brain won't handle it well. Yeah, we don't know what we're dealing with. That's the beauty of it. And that's why I said, don't ever pigeonhole one thing and say, this is what we're dealing with, because we have no way of knowing specifically what's going on.
I think, you know, you made a really good point as far as, could they be here? Could they be that the ghosts, could they be the extraterrestrials watching over us? I mean, that could be a very strong possibility, because you don't really ever see, when you're seeing a ghost, you can just about make out what it is, right? I mean, really just kind of, you can't, and sometimes you see detail and whatnot, but it could be that veil of, they're like behind a curtain, you know, this invisible curtain, and they're there all the time. And that's another thing that we're talking about too, interdimensional. That's what we were talking about with the UFO phenomena. It's this interdimensional time travel and beings, they're able to be here. These guys getting the Tic Tac UFOs on their screens 1 second, and then they're gone the next. So
Marissa Spencer says, I do Reiki. And yes, you do pick up and feel emotions sometime. Lena pops on and says, I'm a Reiki therapist. I've had so many visitations during treatments. The energy attracts them. So Lena, is it the energy you're expelling from the patient, or is it the energy from you channeling the Reiki through that draws the spirits to them? I'm curious what your thoughts are.
Or is she absorbing that energy from the patient? Right.
Renee says, I've heard that doctors and dentist office and hospitals are sometimes the most haunted places. There's so much emotional energy that it may attract spirits. Listen, the dentist terrified me for years, right? So you've got that, you know, kinetic energy and fear. It certainly could be that that's feeding the surroundings. Betty Allen says, a farm I had in Ohio had an apparition that turned out to be the prior owner. I'd built new barns and was always seeing him in them.
Wow.
So that's very cool. Yeah. You got to love when you're having that kind of reaction. I'm trying to make sure I didn't miss any other questions. Let me see what this one said. Marianne says, yes, both my chiropractors, but it was someone that they were connected to. I do Reiki, and that always happens. So that seems the general consensus is that energy work be a part of it. It'd be interesting to have somebody out and be measuring them while they're going through a Reiki healing to see if anything about their energy changes, and
like, when you clear. Could they be monitored maybe somehow?
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
That'd be cool.
David Martinez says, I have a picture of a ghost manifesting in my back door, but can't come in. And I have a picture of a devil and it shows its face. Well, David, I'd start clearing the house for that. Once you start taking photographs of demons, it's time to, you know, get a holy purge on your camera.
Call your local priest.
Yeah, exactly. Do you do anything yourself to protect yourself before going into these haunted locations?
You know, I should. We do. I mean, we all say our own little prayer before we go into a lot of these locations. But as far as like sage or anything like that, we haven't done that yet. We haven't been in any really seriously, seriously bad locations yet. But when that comes, we definitely will, for sure.
Deborah, I'm not sure how she pronounces it. She says, I asked about the crossing of ley lines that increase paranormal experience. There's a lot of belief in that. I still don't really fully understand ley lines and who created the ley lines, or are these naturally occurring, or is it just somebody looked at a globe that had lines drawn on it and noticed where they intersected? I don't know what that means, but there has been a lot. And if you Google ley lines and paranormal activity, I think you'll find quite a few different concepts of that. Deborah says we should definitely break out the sage when we're getting photographs.
It's on right now.
Of demons. That's what it is. A jazz musician.
Talking to Dave Schrader, it's on right now.
Yeah. That's not sage. I recognize that smell. Speaking of skunk. Yeah. Yeah, jazz musician with sage. Oh, officer, I'm just cleansing myself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Just get it out of here.
Does anybody else have any other questions before we wrap up tonight? I just want to make sure if there are any others out there. We'd love to hear from you. Let's see. Marissa Spencer says, I think they are natural and a lot of sacred sites are built on them. Right. Those, I think, might have to do more with the sun, the moon, the alignment of the stars. And I think they're conceived lines that we've drawn to match what's being seen. But I don't know for certain. People are popping up all good thoughts and ideas in here. Dave, here in Southern Oregon, we have 5 ley lines that cross. It's affected me physically. Well, then stay the hell away from them, Nancy. You don't want to do that. You get into these locations where there's that kind of energy transference. It's got to wear on you. And just, you know, first of all, I've heard that can make people really ill as well.
I wonder how it's affecting her. I wonder how it's affecting Nancy.
Nancy, if you could tell us how it's affecting you, we'll mention it here as the show progresses. And folks, just a reminder, I will be back again next week. We've got some other cool shows in mind for live Thursday nights. I can't tell you much about something that's going on, folks, but I am involved in a project that will be starting to film in September and will run through September and October to air probably early next year. It is not Holzer Files, but while we're still in a holding pattern for Holzer Files season 3, I've agreed to work on another short-term project, and I might have a familiar face or two that join me on that. Also coming up, I think in August or September, I filmed a shock doc for Discovery Plus with my good friend Chris Fleming, Sam Beltrusis, Luann Jolly, and we went to a very nefarious haunted site that we had some crazy activity at, and I can't wait for you guys to see that. So keep tuning into the show and I'll talk to you about it and let you know. Let's see, did I miss her response in here? Nancy Hayes, did you tell us what kind of activity? No, I haven't seen her pop up with that. What does Catherine have to share? I interned at a veterinary practice in high school. A number of times I was alone in the building. We didn't have patients in the building, all large animals, and had stuff move every time. Catherine, a good friend of mine's wife, runs a veterinary clinic, and they have motion detection alarms and alerts inside because of all the medication and drugs and things. You have to be cautious. And his alarms would go off almost every night, and he would look at these photographs, and there were sometimes it looked like a progression of people walking through the room. Sometimes he has one that was just chilling, and it's like it's right up at the camera like that, and it's very misty, but you could see the face and the detail as it's looking up into the camera. So it's fascinating to me, you know, how some of these medical clinics deal with this energy. And you know, if somebody brought their pet there, lost their pet there, did that part of them, that emotional fragment, stay in that area with their pet? Is the pet still there? Obviously, animal ghosts are very prevalent. And that's what a lot of people question about Mothman and Bigfoot and Dogman. Are these reflections of the past? Are we seeing a brief moment in time of a ghost?
Well, you know, we spoke about the Dogman. We're talking about going, well, in October, we're going to be going out to Wisconsin to investigate the Beast of Bray Road. Now, this is a creature that's been around relatively new, but he's been seen, or it's been seen since I think maybe the 30s, but recently has really been in the news since about the mid 90s. So the gentleman that we're going to talk to, Lee Hample, his property backs right up to Bray Road. When he first moved there, the people had said, hey, do you believe in this creature? He's like, oh, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that at all. You know, well, about a year later, a couple of years later, he wound up seeing this creature, and it was on 2 legs, massive. And again, red glowing eyes. So, but it wasn't like a Bigfoot creature. It was more like a wolf man, like a wolf werewolf type thing. So, and it looked like a dog. So, here's the thing. So we're going out to investigate this. He's got all of these trail cam pictures too, with footprints. Very, very strange. Wait a minute. It was Dave Schrader. The whole time.
Turns out I'm the bald beast of Bray Road.
It was Dave Schrader the whole time.
And don't forget, I'm like old man Smithers from the Scooby-Doo cartoon.
And Bigfoot. That's right. But no, I mean, so, and he's got pictures. He's not only got pictures of trail cam pictures of footprints. He had a deer on his property that was killed. He's had some cattle mutilations there as well. So this one's going to be a little interesting because, you know, I never want to put us in any kind of harm's way. Mm-hmm. If there's a 70-foot tall creature running around out there, we definitely, number one, have to stay. We have to mind our surroundings. We're going to have to stay on high alert and try to get as much evidence as we can because we're going to be doing a night investigation there. And then you were, as far as ghosts, so I wanted to tell this story in February.
Let's mention Nancy did respond. She said, I did answer. It affected my joints and movement and I ran like hell. So thank you for filling us in, Nancy. I appreciate that.
Cool. Well, we had a report, February of 2020, got an email from a gentleman who had been staying at a local inn, was awoken in the middle of the night by this somebody talking in his room. He got up and he was celebrating his anniversary with his wife. His wife was sound asleep. He gets up and sees in the room a full body apparition. And it was a gentleman that it was so clear to him that he could see the 5 o'clock shadow that he had on his face.
Wow.
And he was wearing a robin's egg blue, like 70s looking tuxedo. And this was in the room. And he was like right at the foot of the bed. It was just frightening and startling to this guy. Like, how the hell did this guy get in here? He thought it was somebody. He thought it was a person. And here he's motioning to our client. He's motioning to him like this, like, what are you doing in my room? So there was no speaking. No, he couldn't hear anything. And he went to go turn the light on. And when he turned the light on, he knocked over a bottle. And when the light went on, it was gone. So he was so adamant as far as what he saw. And later on, we talked to him and we actually did a video and we interviewed him on Zoom and he was telling us the story. And we thought that it could have been maybe a Revolutionary War soldier. And it wasn't a tuxedo looking thing. It was like actually like a uniform because there had been reports of that same person in this particular establishment. So we recreated, you know, what we tried to figure out what was going on in the room. We took our magnetometers in there. We tried to do some EVPs. We didn't get any EVPs, but the magnetometer went crazy on the side of his bed that he was sleeping on in that bed. So was it some kind of energy there? Definitely there was some kind of energy going on there, but we didn't experience anything there as far as the apparition goes. But I just found it fascinating that here he's talking about this energy and, you know, like the little light that's on the like the cable box in your house, you know, there's a little green light. When it was standing in front of the bed, it blocked that light out from this cable box. So that we found that fascinating because here we recreated where he was in the bed. We looked at the light and you could clearly see it, but it was standing there and it was blocked out. So and then the magnetometer is going crazy. So it was very, very strange. So that's something we're still looking into. I'm glad that he came forward because, again, a lot of people might not want to come forward and say, hey, I had this experience there. But we did that video and that really struck a nerve with people because we got like 15,000 views or something like that overnight. It was crazy. We just did a UFO report in Doylestown. We had a huge flap. Well, not a flap, but a report in early May. A woman took video. I'll have to send you this video too, Dave. Unbelievable. Over this lake, we have a lake here called Lake Galena. Over the lake, hundreds and hundreds of white lights in the sky. They weren't satellites. I know there was no satellites because they were way too low, but hundreds of blinking lights in the sky, just blinking away, and then disappeared. They all disappeared. She flashed like a laser pointer at one and it stopped and like it focused on the laser pointer. So what was that? I don't know, but it frightened her so much, but she wanted to come forward and tell the story. So we told that and we showed that video and that area And a lot of people had the same experience. They saw the same thing. So
unbelievable.
Yeah. Really, really cool stuff.
Sounds like it. I'm going to have to get out to Pennsylvania for more than just a week to film Holzer Files and go out and explore some of these places with you, Eric.
Definitely. Oh, we would love that. We would have a blast.
Good deal. Well, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Make sure you come see me live at many of the different events this year. For more information, visit darknessevents.com. That's darknessevents.com. Michigan Paracon coming up in August. It is going to be an amazing conference. There are so many paranormal people there, you won't even know what to do with yourself. You could swing a pinata stick and hit one of us at any time, but please don't. We're very easy to bruise. Eric Mantel, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Dave, thank you, man. Thank you so much for having me. We'll see you in Woodbridge in September.
Oh, that's right. We're going to be out in Woodbridge, New Jersey at the New Jersey Para Unity Conference. There's information for that on our site as well, so make sure you go check it out for yourself. That's it for tonight. For Tim Dennis, I'm Dave Schrader, our guest Eric Mantel. You've been listening to the very best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio.